This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. This summer, America turns 250 years old, and there's no better way to celebrate than getting outside and exploring this great nation. One way to do that is to rent a camper or RV from Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the U.S., making it easy for anyone over 21 to rent an RV or camper without owning one. With Outdoorsy, you can drive it yourself, tow it, or even have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. With comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, and roadside assistance, Outdoorsy gives you the peace of mind you need when on the road. Outdoorsy is even the perfect option for your next out-of-state hunting or fishing trip. Right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed from their bookings in 2026 with code EMPIRE at Outdoorsy.com. That's Outdoorsy.com and use code EMPIRE at checkout to remove service fees. It's time to get outside and enjoy your summer. I've been trying underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum. Basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
All right. What is going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Southeastern Bowhunter Podcast. In this episode, we're going to have Zach Plasica from Extreme Outfitters on here to pretty much talk about everything relating to shops, some of the stuff that's happening in the archery world right now, the deer hunting world, and we're going to get a little bit of a background on who Zach is. So it's going to be a really good episode. Look, I'm really excited to have all of you guys out at the bow shoot next month, July 11th, 9 a.m., Charlie Elliott archery range. Dude, it's gonna be such a good time. We've got the bow giveaway, we've got a lone wolf giveaway, we've got boutique stuff, Osseo. I think Moultrie's getting involved. I know the Scrape Doctor stuff's happening. Catalyst is already here. Dude, just awesome stuff. So still working on trying to get the giveaway stuff set up. I know Ace Hardware's getting involved, and dude, it's just gonna be such a good time. So remember, everything's free if you want to shoot for the bow. It's free entry to shoot for the bow. It's a 5 shots at 100 yards, and whoever gets in the 10 ring, there will be a sticker provided in the spot you need to aim at. If you get your arrow in that or touching it, you get entered to win the bow. So it's going to be a brand new Prime Form 30 from Prime, obviously, with a black riser, and I think Brian told me it was like Summit Scar limbs or something like that at 60 pounds. And whatever draw length you are, we can get that set up for you. So yeah, man, really excited for that. Before we get into it with Zach, we got to run through the partners. I'm going to go through this kind of quick. So the podcast is brought to you by Sportsman's Empire. That is the network that we are under. We've been under them for a little while, and dude, absolutely love those guys. If you want a whole host of shows, they have a bunch of different hunting content shows that you can actually listen to, not just mine. And they're all really, really good. Next up, Lone Wolf Custom Gear. I am running the V2 double sticks. I think I'm running 3 of them. And also the DeQuisto Series 0.75. Those stands are absolutely amazing. I've been playing with mine, getting a little bit more comfortable with, you know, hanging them up and all that stuff, because I'm a little bit out of practice since last season. And so, yeah, if you guys are looking for new sticks or new stand or a package deal, head over to Lone Wolf. If you don't want to get the DeQuisto Series stuff, they do have the cast The cast stands, and I think they're still selling the sticks. I'm pretty sure that they are, that go with the Patriot series. So the Patriot series is just the cast system, just as good quality as, I guess, the DeQuisto series stuff. The only thing is you don't get as many of the, I guess, bells and whistles that come with the DeQuisto series stands. So my recommendation is, you know, bite the bullet, get the DeQuisto series stuff. It's far and beyond thing, far and above things that I have used in the past, and I absolutely love it. So next up, Osseo gear camo that I've been running for years now. I'll be running the Leafy jacket this coming fall. Really excited about that because with how I'm changing the way that I hunt, it's going to be a huge game changer. Definitely going to break up the silhouette. And Osseo has you covered for everything. So let's see. Next up, Boutique. I can't read today. The Boutique is the best arrow wraps in the market, man. Mike can literally do anything that you need as far as custom orders. He's got like a ton of orders that not orders, but designs that he's already done. He's got shirts, hoodies, all that stuff. So if you want to make your arrows look good, head over to the Boutique. Next up, G5 Outdoors. I'm going to be running the Mega Meat again this year. Might try my hand at the T2. We'll see. But the G5 Outdoors broadheads, man, I absolutely love them. So probably going to be running those for a very long time. So if you need new broadheads, go check out G5. Next up is going to be Prime Archery. My Divide 31 is absolutely smoking right now. The Divide series is a great series of bows. It's 8 different models. So if you guys are looking at new bows, I mean, we've got, let's see, it is June, what's today's date? The 15th. So deer season's in 2 months, I think, 3 months. Not a lot of time. So if you haven't gotten your new bow yet, I highly recommend that you do. If you're shooting a prime already, you know how good it is. But if you guys are looking at new bows, check out your local shop or head over to Ace Hardware and Social Circle and go shoot some of the primes they have. Let's see. Oh, and remember, nothing aims like a prime. Sorry. let's see. Next up, Dialed Archery. My proof is amazing. The 1776 version is, I think, already dropping or will drop soon. That is the 250th anniversary of America version that the small batch drop that Dialed is dropping. Super sick stuff. Look, best bow sights that I've ever used. Let's see. Next up, Moultrie. Cell cameras are working great. Been getting a lot of pretty decent bucks on camera. I think this year is going to be a really, really good season for all of us, especially down in the South where we had that huge mass crop of acorns last year. These bucks are really starting to show out and it's very early still. So the Moultries are working hard. They're doing their thing. Bow Hunting League. If you want to be a state sponsor, it's $100 a year. We signed up again this year. So we will be on the shirts that everybody will get when you kill a buck. So if you want to be a state sponsor, especially if you're in Georgia, either reach out to me or go check out the website and tell them that we sent you. It helps us a lot. It helps them a lot. And you get a lot of the perks that come with it. Next up, Scrape Doctor. So I actually started my scrapes already. Been seeing a little bit, you know, here and there. We've had a very, very heavy rain, so I may have to go refresh it. We'll see. But James has got some stuff now, not only just scrape magic, but he's got, I think it's like Doe in Estrus X or something like that. And then he's also got a new bead system that I'm going to actually be trying this year. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens with that. So yeah, if all your scrape needs, head over to the Scrape Doctor. Next up, Victory Archery. I'm running the HLRs. Absolutely love those arrows. Catalyst Archery. Those are going to be affordable stabilizers that are still extremely high quality. I love them. Changed how I shoot, honestly. So if you guys need some new stabilizers for your bows, head over to Catalyst and check out what he's got. It's not just stabilizers. He's got little add-ons and stuff here and there for bows. Yeah, dude, I'm really stoked to see what he comes up with because Brian tells me stuff all the time and he's like, man, I want to try this. And then 2 weeks later, he's got a prototype. So it's going to be really cool to see what he comes up with. And last but not least is Unbound Archery. Sorry. Yeah, Unbound Archery. Those are the strings that I run. I love them. You don't have to wax them. The quality is there. Just as good as any other string that you're going to be shooting. In my opinion, they're better. And Nick can do pretty much any color that you want for any bow that you've got. So thank you to all the partners, for all of you that are actually listening to this intro. If you want to save some money and you know, get some of these products that I personally use, that I personally believe in. All of the websites are in the description below. It's got all the discount codes that I've been given for those. Make sure you use those, okay? If for whatever reason you can't find it, but you want to use some of this stuff, text me, hit me up on the socials, and I will give you the code. But it's listed there in the webs or in the episode description. So before we get into it with Zach, man, the Lord has been working. I honestly have been struggling with some stuff. Some things happened, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it's a test of faith, right? And you know, I'll just say this, that when these times come, lean on the Lord. That's the only thing I know how to do. And you know, I've been looking for clarity and guidance, and He's been giving it. However hard it might be, you know, I the truth is in the Word, right? That is, you can't argue that. And, you know, even in the times where I'm struggling with stuff, where I've got questions or I feel like I'm not enough, I mean, I always go back to the Word, and it continues to tell me Jesus paid it all, right? It's outlined in the Bible how we should live our lives. And you know, none of us are perfect, right? Like we were reading Galatians last week, and in Galatians, the whole book pretty much sums up that, you know, us as humans, we want to feel like we need to earn our way, right? That we need to go to the law, is what they call it in Galatians, which is the old law, which is basically the Lord made the law and gave us the law to show us what sin is, and to show us that we need Him, because all of us fall to a certain type of sin, or maybe multiple or whatever. All fall short of the glory of God, right? So the law was made for us to be able to know that what we were doing was wrong. But then Jesus came, and he made us no longer under the law. And that doesn't mean that you can keep doing the things you used to do. What it means is the law was made so that we could know why Jesus had to come. And it's amazing what Galatians teaches, honestly, that just, it's just faith. We're saved by grace through faith. And that's it. That's all it is. So if you are someone who's listening to this, and you maybe have been thinking, you know, I've heard a lot about Jesus, I've heard a lot about this, I really like what some of my Christian friends are doing, you know, I like how they've changed or whatever, open a Bible. See what God's got for you. Because I've been reading mine a lot more. Now, not as much as I should, but I've definitely been reading it a lot more. And the things that He's got in there for me, it's so funny how it works. That like, it just clicks. Right. And you know, Jesus is there. He's waiting for you to come to Him and just say, Lord, I need you. And once you do that, everything changes, right? Doesn't mean life's going to be all sunshine and flowers. Like, that's not what it is, but just like I'm struggling with stuff right now, and in some ways not knowing which route to go and all that other stuff, I can go to Him and He will answer. He answers every time. And the way that He tells me, hey, go this way. And I'm not saying it's an audible voice or anything, but getting in the Word and praying about it and really sort of focusing on whatever it is that I'm going through or you're going through, He will get you through it. And every time, His way is the best way. His way is better. So yeah, it's just something on my heart right now that, you know, I feel like you guys might need to, some of y'all might need to hear. Maybe I'm just talking to people that have nothing going on in their lives, that they don't feel like they need a savior. I can still tell you, you do. You know, I look at things and I look at what my life was before I gave it to Christ, and I don't like what I see. You know, I mean, yes, I was blessed with things. I didn't realize what I was blessed with. But now knowing Jesus and getting closer to Him and having Him to pull me out of some dark spots. I mean, you know, at the past couple weeks, I've had, you know, a struggle here and there, or a struggle that seems like it won't go away. And instead of just giving in because it's like, oh, well, this was too powerful, I go to Jesus and He pulls me out of it. Doesn't mean that I'm not still struggling with it, but things are changing. All right. I've seen the fruits of what's changing, and it just strengthens my faith. And I really want that for all of you. You know, when our time is up here, I want to see every single one of you that's listening in heaven. And some of you I'll never meet, but if I get to meet you in heaven, you can tell me all about it, and I would be ecstatic. Cause that's, you know, the God, our purpose is to preach the gospel. It's to share what Jesus did so that all can be saved. Realistically, there's going to be people that listen and they don't roll with it. They don't want to hear it. And you know, that's between them and the Lord. But my job, aside from providing this podcast and talking about deer and hunting and the stuff that we love, my true job is to try and bring as many people to Christ as possible. And it's nothing on me. I want none of that praise, right? I don't want that. It's all the Lord. Everything that I'm saying right now, from the Lord. It's there in the book. You can read it yourself. So yeah, preacher moment. Really sorry about that. Actually, you know what? I'm not sorry, but that was my preacher moment. If you don't know who Jesus is, I highly recommend that you get to know who he is, because he's waiting for you and he's got something so much better for you than what you currently have. However hard it might be to go through it. At the end of the tunnel, God's always got something better. So yeah, that's the intro. Zach is waiting on us. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to watch us on the YouTube channel, head over to YouTube, type in Southeastern Bowhunter Podcast. You'll find it. We are going to be filming some hunts this year. Got a lot of prospective hunts that I'm excited for. A lot of doors opened. Very thankful for that. And yeah, man, look, enough of me rambling. Let's get into it with Zach Placica from Extreme Outfitters.
Welcome to the Southeastern Bowhunter Podcast. This is the Southeastern Bowhunter Podcast.
All right, y'all. We got Mr. Zach Placica here from Extreme Outfitters. I'm sure a lot of you archery nuts out there have seen his videos where they do a bunch of bow reviews. They cover pretty much everything archery related. I found you guys maybe a couple years ago, and I think the first video I saw was y'all shooting like an 80-pound prime or 80-pound something, and because I was thinking about getting one, and I didn't end up getting one. I got a 70-pound instead, but the quality of y'all's videos and the info that you guys put out, it's awesome. And then the podcast is awesome. So dude, first off, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, dude, I appreciate you having me. We're like battle the last names, right? That's what we were just talking about. Two challenging last names. We've got them figured out. Dude, I appreciate the invite. I always enjoy sitting down and talking to people and kind of doing these things and, you know, kind of picking your brain as well as picking mine.
Yeah, dude, that's kind of what the podcast stuff's all about, right? Like you get to just have good conversations and dig into things and sort of break things down. And that you guys are really good at that. I mean, I remember... When the new bows came out, I was waiting for y'all to drop something on that because I already knew what I was going to shoot, but I'm curious other people's opinions, you know? And I mean, y'all did not disappoint at all.
Yeah, well,
I will say this though. I was a little disappointed, and this is nothing on you guys. I was a little disappointed that Prime did not make it into the bow of the year running.
For
whatever, I think it was Whitetail Magazine or
you're talking about this year?
Yeah.
For Outdoor Life.
Outdoor Life, that's what it was. Yeah.
So I talked to the guys from, I talked to PJ from Outdoor Life, and Prime opted to not be a part of it this year. So it was not Outdoor Life's decision. So what Outdoor Life, from what my understanding is, what Outdoor Life does is they reach out to the manufacturers. The manufacturers send the bows that they want to send to be reviewed.
Yeah.
And it's up to them. And Prime elected to not be a part of the 2026 bow of the year testing, from what I was told, because I had some similar questions about it too, right? I was like, one, my major question was like, why did they use the Bowtech, the short bow, the 30-inch bow versus the 33? Because every other bow in the testing was a 33 to like 35-inch bow, I believe. But it was based off the manufacturer. So Outdoor Life just puts it out there. The manufacturers send the bows and then they test them and review them.
Got it. I did not know that.
I was
going to call Brian and be like, hey, what happened? It's like, dude, I mean, I shoot, you know, the 31 and I love it. Right. And it's
you
like,
you shoot the Divide?
Yeah.
With the 6 or the 7-inch brace height?
7.
Okay. Yeah, dude. So their bows, I think they did a fantastic job this year. And Prime does something really cool. I think that's pretty unique at the Total Archery Challenge events. I don't know if you've been to one or not.
Yeah. I saw you at one. Remember?
Dude. Oh yeah. Oh no, that was Tennessee. Tennessee. That's right, dude. Sorry. I'm all over the
No,
place.
You're good. You're
that's
good.
Right. But they have their bow building trailer there.
Yeah. Which is, I didn't know that.
It's super cool. So you can essentially go up and talk to Mitch and them there and then custom build a Prime bow. So Prime's doing pretty cool stuff. And then they're supporting the dealers when they do this, right? Yeah. So like whatever dealers are within that area or at that event supporting it, they give the credit to the sale to the dealer. So it's a super cool thing that Prime's doing. And then their bows this year, I think, are fantastic. In particular, for me, I like the Divide with the 6-inch, the Divide 33 with the 6-inch brace height. I just think it bangs. It shoots really well.
Yeah. So what's bad is every year, right? And I think I've been working with Prime now for like 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. And love the form. Brian told me about the Divides and all that other stuff. So I go to the local shop up here and I'm like, hey, let me shoot the 33 and the 31. What's bad is I think I got so comfortable with the form 34, 6¼-inch brace. And then I grabbed the 31 and the 33 at 6-inch. And I'm like, dude, why is this stiffer? Because to me, it felt like it was a stiffer draw. I wasn't used to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't want to potentially, whatever bow I went with this year, I didn't want to be like 32 degrees wind, try to draw back, and then I can't, you know?
Right.
So I went with the 7. Honestly, freaking amazing. But then the one thing going from a 34 to a 31, and I kind of wish that I would have gone 33 instead, because I struggled for like a month with a 31 to get it to be accurate. I mean, I'd be drawing back and like, you know, I'd be sort of swaying a little bit, and it took a while to get used to. But then what was crazy is we went to TAC in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I was like not feeling good at all. I don't know what the deal was, but I went out there and it shot amazing. And so immediately was like, well, I guess I got used to this thing, because I broke an arrow, not lost an arrow. So it was, I don't know, whatever Prime's doing, it fantastic.
Yeah, so. I think they've done a really good job. They've got some really good options. And that's the thing that's kind of unique about them, right, is the options that you get from them. So you've got 31, 33, 35, 6 or 7-inch brace height. So you've got all these options to really accommodate the individual based off their goals, right? Are they hunting? Are they shooting total archery events? Are they shooting 3D? They're doing a mix. You can kind of really choose. And I noticed for me going from one bow to the next, like it does take a little bit of time for me to adjust. I know a lot of guys that can just pick up a bow and just pound with it. And I'm not that guy. It takes me a little bit of effort. but it's something I've been working on, and it comes down to, I think, shot process and all of these other things. But it's something that I definitely have to work on, I just got back from Pennsylvania. And for the total archery event there, you know, we shot Tennessee. Tennessee was great. Then we went and shot Total Archery Challenge in Pennsylvania, Seven Springs. And I just had a really bad go at it. And I've never struggled really to shoot a bow like I did there. And there was a couple big takeaways. There was a lot of uphill stuff. And my draw length, I noticed, was just that it was end up being a 1/2-inch longer. I set it on the mod wrong, right? I set it at the letter that I chose was not the right letter that corresponded with the draw length. So I set it at 29 inches. I'm 28.5 inches. Well, going to that event, the bow was out of spec a little bit. I didn't recheck it before I went, as I should have. But, you know, things get overlooked when you're running a shop, right? Our stuff always comes
second. You're a busy guy.
Yeah, right. So we're busy. So I overlooked the little things that we always tell people don't overlook. And I did that. And I just couldn't figure out why I could not get the bow to shoot uphill. Obviously, there's technique issues and errors on my end, but the bow just felt off and I just wasn't comfortable with it for some reason. And I brought it back to the shop and I broke it all down and I put it on the draw board and I checked the actual draw length. It was measuring 29¼. So the bow was out of spec. It had lost 6 pounds. So the draw length extended a little bit and I had it on the wrong letter. So it was a mess. So I came back, I just stripped the bow down, I rebuilt the bow, retuned it, reset it up, and I changed the let off. I always shot 85%, and you know, I talked to some people, I changed the holding weight, I went down to 75%, so I'm holding like 14 pounds now, and just really went through and rethought everything about my bow setup. And the last few days that I've been shooting, everything has felt like it's come back together. So, you know, it was a disaster of an event, but it was good. It was eye opening for me. So I needed that. It was a gut check.
Fun, right?
Oh, dude, always, man. Okay, we shot with Dan from Elk Shape.
Oh, dude, that's sick.
you know, we shot, and I shot with Cody from Easton on the prime course, and it was just a challenging course as it was. Yeah. And then, you know, I shot with all my guys. We went and shot RMEF, and, you know, Pennsylvania is like my favorite event to go to.
I've heard it's a lot of fun. And I actually watched Chris B's video where he had the Be Real course.
Yeah.
And I was watching that like, God, I wish I could have been there for that. Because I I'll say this. We shot the Jack Links course, and it, shot-wise, didn't really feel that challenged. And I'm not saying that to brag at all. It's just like, right. I like a long-distance shot. I think the longest shot was like 72, 75 yards or something.
Yeah, so it's a little more tame.
Yeah, but I will say, the course itself, getting to every target, kicked my butt. I mean, God.
Yeah,
it was horrible. Rough. Yeah, they had like a 650-foot elevation change, and me and my wife went, and like, we're not out of shape, but we were struggling. We had to take a break because I'm like, dude, I just can't. I mean, you put a 200-inch muley in front of me, I'll do it.
Yeah.
It might be the last thing I ever do, but I'll do it. But when it's Total Archery Challenge, I can take a break.
You know, the funny thing about that is people, you know, they often downplay, in my opinion, physical capabilities, right? Fitness side of things. And, you know, you may be in good shape, but elevation is different. Like I'm at sea level. Yeah. So every time we go to any of these, there's always more elevation than what we're used to. And as you know, you fatigue your shooting your bow anyways, right? So when you fatigue, your form breaks down, your shots just aren't as good. Now you amplify that with elevation, you're climbing hills, mountains, going from target to target. And it's just, you know, a mix of just trying challenging things, plus all the different variables that you got to deal with. And, you know, that's what makes it so hard. That's what's fun, but it's eye-opening, you know, when it comes to like, why didn't I shoot good? And you're like, well, you're not standing on a flat range. You're hiking. You've been on a course for 4 to 6 hours. You haven't drank any water. You haven't ate any food, and your physical fitness isn't where it should probably be.
Yeah.
You know, everything's stacked against you.
Well, and then try to shoot a gopher in the head at 75 yards. Dude, I need to send you the clip. It wasn't 75, it was like 65, but I jokingly said, hey, I'm going to shoot him in the head. And no joke, it happened. And I remember looking at everybody and I'm like, that was the Lord. I didn't do that.
Don't ask me to repeat that.
Yeah. It's like, I'll never do that again.
That's fine.
Well, look, man, I want to sort of dive into you. I want to get to know more about who you are. So obviously you run, do you run Extreme Outfitters? Is that like, yeah. Okay.
My brand, man. Yes, sir.
You got that. How did you get to where you're at? Like, what did little Zach ever think, I'm going to have this great YouTube channel with this bow shop and all this other stuff?
No, man. And honestly, it was never honestly even on my radar. So like our backstory is kind of interesting, right? So Extreme Outfitters was not archery whenever we got it. So backstory, I've been with this company since I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
And it was a company that was based around military law enforcement equipment. Well, fast track, everything has changed. The original owner was a very close friend of ours. He, out of the blue, passes away. We buy the company. We think we're going to run this company, and we just tank it. We don't know business. We've never owned or run a company. We run it in the ground. We're in this massive amount of debt. Everyone's here is, you know, me, my family, we're writing resumes, you know, getting ready to file bankruptcy and lose our homes and our property. And it was really eye-opening. And I was like, man, you know, we just can't quit on this thing. And, you know, I took a chance. Archery was something I enjoyed. It's something I got into a little later in life. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take our store. I'm going to put an indoor archery range on there. And then I'm going to start an archery shop. I don't really know anything about working on bows, but I've got a really good friend who I'm going to bring on board, who's going to help me with this thing. His name was Cody Griffin. Cody Griffin is now at Easton. And he heads, in some capacity, their marketing and working with shooters and stuff like that. Just an incredible individual. Him and I were the ones that came together and started Extreme Outfitters, the archery side. And, you know, we took some chances. Some companies took some chances on us, bringing bows and stuff in. And, you know, I knew what I wanted in an archery shop, even though I'd not been to a lot of them. I knew the experience that the one I had originally been to wasn't what I thought it should have been.
Yeah.
And I knew customer service and I knew all that. So that's what we built our brand around, man. And it was always about giving back, providing value, community. Those are everything that Extreme Outfitters is based around. And I did that in the archery side of things, which was something I had a passion on, and it's continued to grow. I've never thought about, you know, I guess people see us differently than what I see us as, maybe, because I mean, we're still a family owned company with, I've been, you know, my friends are who we employ, who I employ. Yeah. You know, I have relationships, really good relationships with all of our staffing in some capacity. They're either active duty, retired, veterans, dependents, like our core group of people is incredible people that work here. Yeah. So this company is not all about Zach. This, our company is based off of our team. I just happen to be the guy in front of the camera, doing this stuff. And it was never on my mind to be doing this. Like, I never wanted to be the face of anything, and I never wanted to be considered an influencer. I hate it, I'll be honest with you, because I'm not an influencer. We're not, you know, YouTubers. I'm a business guy. Like, that's what I built a business. I built a brand, and I understand we have to do the social side of things and the YouTube side of things in order to share what we've built with everybody. And it's been something, dude, we grind, man. Like, all our guys here absolutely put in work. I mean, my camera guy that I was able to bring on board, he's been with me for 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
And we have an incredible relationship, and you know, we work hard, man. I mean all of our guys here work very hard, I will say that. And we spend a lot of time with it. And obviously I'm very passionate about our brand, and I'm passionate about archery, and enjoy what we're doing. And I think that's what's, you know, helped kind of accelerate us. I'm a volume guy. Like, I do more. How can we do more? How can we offer more value? How can we, you know, continue to grow our community locally? And, you know, how can we just provide more to everybody that's given us an opportunity? And that's kind of how I've approached everything.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job of that.
I appreciate it, man. So quality has always been important to me as well.
Yeah.
Right? Volume and quality, I think, is what really moves the needle. And, you know, quality has been important to me from the information that we put out. And, like, I'm not saying we're always right, but we do our best to do research and provide good value, and then put, you know, stuff that's of decent quality that people want to watch, and so that they see us as a high-value company, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, like, how I found you guys, because, you know, I love going down the archery rabbit hole, you know?
Same.
I mean, I got to the point at one time early on where I was literally hand fletching arrows. And I'm talking, like, I had a 5-degree helical and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know what a helical was.
Gosh.
Yeah. And I was cutting arrows with a pipe cutter. I mean, it was like, it was rough. But what's funny is, so I'd go on YouTube and I just look up, like, you know, arrow builds or bow reviews or whatever. And I remember the first time, like I said, I don't remember exactly what video, but I do remember there was an 80-pound bow being shot. And I'm sitting there just watching stuff, and I'm like, who's this Jack dude that's actually giving good information? And so I started watching more of y'all's stuff, and I'm just like, dang, these guys are pretty knowledgeable. And what I think comes out through y'all's content is you can tell you're not, there's no arrogance, there's no, you know, look at me, I'm the center guy, you know?
It's
archery, it's information, it's all honest, and it's good information. And I've had bad experiences at shops, you know?
Yes.
And to see what you guys do, I've never been to your shop. I've met you once, and I can already tell that if I went to your shop and was like, hey, Zach, help me, you'd do what you would need to do, and you'd teach me along the way. And it's very hard to find that.
It is. I find that kind of interesting, right? You know, that's been the goal with our channels and the platforms we use is to help people, because not everybody has access to what we've built, right? That's one thing about the archery community. I've talked to manufacturers, and the dealer network continues to shrink and become smaller and smaller. And not everybody has access to a good shop, but they do have access to the internet. And, you know, finding information and, you know, doing it itself. If you look at the direction bows are going at this point, anybody at this point that's halfway into archery, if you spend enough time watching, reading, learning, you can tune your own bow at this point with minimal equipment now is kind of the trend that we see going. And we've wanted to be a part of that and basically share our experiences to the public. and, you know, provide information and help people be able to enjoy archery and do things themselves. Because whenever you do things yourself, you tend to appreciate it a little bit more and you get further in the rabbit hole. And I think what has happened with some old school ideas is we see kind of like gatekeeping, right? People like shops almost fear the end user knowing how to do things. And I don't think it's a good approach because the shop is always going to be needed.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with providing information for guys to be able to do it themselves? I just don't see an issue with it. It's something, you know, it's kind of how we got into it. So we want to be able to provide that information. And we are, I will say this wholeheartedly, we are the most down-to-earth individuals you will probably meet. And I've always find it very humbling that anyone, one, supports our business, and then wants to come up and talk to me, because at the end of the day, I'm just a dude with a camera who has a passion for archery, just like you and just like everybody else walking through these events. So it's always been important to me to be approachable, be helpful, and then to listen to people, because there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of great things to say and share their experiences to me. And I learn a lot from everyone that we interact with. And so do our guys. Like if you talk to any of our guys, they are hilarious. Like, they're just good dudes that just want to help and just generally share the same passion as everybody else.
So I'm going to tell you a story that goes along these lines. And I honestly forgot about it up until just now. TAC, not this past year, but the year before. So 25. Mm-hmm. I was up there with one of my buddies. It was actually my first time in Tennessee. And we were walking around the vendor village. And I'd already been watching y'all's stuff, right? And it was kind of one of those moments where it was like, I feel the same way, right? Like if someone comes up and like, hey man, listen to the podcast, it's great. I almost feel weird about it. I'm like, oh wait,
doesn't it make you feel strange?
Yeah. I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. Like
that's my same thing, man. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. But what was funny is I was at the boning booth and, I remember seeing y'all's booth and I told my buddy Josh, I was like, oh dude, look, it's the Extreme Outfitters guys. He goes, oh, let's go talk to him. I was like, I'm a little scared, honestly. I was like, you know, I don't want to say something stupid and all that stuff. So I legitimately was a little scared to come up and talk to y'all just out of the mere fact of like, I didn't know the extent or the content, I guess, if that makes sense. Like the way that you guys come through the content now after watching it and me being like, okay, look, everybody in this industry is just another person. You know what I'm saying? There's no point in being scared. And if I say something stupid, I say something stupid, right? But it was funny to me because I'm like, why was I apprehensive? Go up and say something. Say what's up, you know?
So I'm the same way, man. I mean, like, because like it's, you know, we go there, we're just another dude that happens to be there that just is in the same place that has a passion for the same thing. And I think ego, I kind of see it with, you know, some people more than others that think they're more than what they are. At the end of the day, you're a dude that shoots a bow. Like, let's be real. Like, check yourself. You're a dude that shoots a bow and you're good at it. There's no reason that there should be any arrogance that comes along with it. Cause at the end of the day, you're just a dude that shoots a bow. It's fun.
I think humbling thing that I've experienced and what probably got me out of that whole, like being afraid to talk to someone or feeling nervous or whatever is, last year I had, it had to be last year. We had, I think it was Michael Waddell comes on the podcast, right? Wow. And to me, I'm like, oh my Lord, it's Waddy. This is crazy. And so I'm telling all my family about it. And I come to realize they have no idea who he is.
It's funny, isn't it?
It's like, dude, it's Waddell. What are you bone collector? All these, I grew up watching like all that stuff. And they're like, oh, that's cool. And I had the realization, I'm like, as big as they might be to us, to the average person, it's just someone that hunts and that's it. And so it really kind of brought me down to earth where I'm like, all right, every single person that I meet in this is just another person. Like we had Cody DeQuisto on 2 weeks ago.
I saw.
Was I a little nervous? Yes. Was he super cool? Yes. You know, it's like the name I feel like carries so much weight. And it's the same thing with like Extreme Outfitters. You know, if you watch y'all's stuff, there's people that are probably like, dude, I would love to meet these guys, but I'd be so nervous, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no reason to be because we're all human beings, you know?
That's so literally it, man.
It's just crazy to me, man. It really is.
People really get hung up on things too. And I do understand how it is easy when you have influence on something to develop that. And I think that's why it's always important that you check yourself and you have to keep yourself in check, because there's so many people that do kind of, you know, get carried away with it and think they have more influence than what they really do. Mm. You know, we're all here doing the same thing, and the community has to come together in order to support each other, because the last thing you want is any division amongst what we're already doing, right? Especially the hunting industry as a whole, right? There's so much, you know, I'm a this part of this group or that group or this group. And, you know, we create this division that's already, you know, got enough negativity out there that, you know, it just doesn't help anybody. And at the end of the day, like I said, you're just shooting a bow, man. Help everybody out. Realize that everybody's just trying to do the same thing. And if they look up to you, you should appreciate that and give them the time of day and the respect.
I completely agree. Now, talking about division.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be, I'm not doing this because everyone's talking about it. I am genuinely asking, but have you noticed a trend lately in the crossbow versus compound or crossbow versus vertical archery debate?
Dude, I've watched this and it's a conversation that just goes in a circle, man.
Yeah. What is going on?
So I think it comes down to perspective, right? You have to have perspective from where everybody comes from. We're all different. We all have different interests. We all have different hobbies, all have different things we enjoy. And, you know, I see people walking around with, so I pride myself in my company of being professional, right? Mm-hmm. Kids can watch us. Families can watch us. Anybody can come up and talk to us. There will never be any foul language, any vulgar language, anything like that. And I'll never talk negatively about another individual, another company or anything like that, because at the end of the day, we're all just trying to do our thing and we're doing it the best we can to navigate and whatnot. And, you know, I see, you know, crossbows are gay. You know, I see this and I don't think that's good for the industry personally. I don't, man. Like, listen, I'm a compound bow shooter through and through. I've never had an interest in crossbows. I live to shoot a vertical bow, man. Like that's what I thrive on. Am I the best at it? Absolutely not, but I love it. But I see everyone is trying to do the same thing, right? And, you know, this goes like you have your traditional guys. Like, I can look at it from their perspective. Like, oh, man, we should have our own season. Compound bow shooters, they're cheating. It's too easy. And then you go to crossbows. It's like, where does it end, right? At the end of the day, we're all trying to do the same thing. And I think, honestly, the crossbow side of things, it gets a bad name because we notice an uptick in issues whenever the season comes. We see some crossbow shooters are a little late to the game. They just don't take it as seriously, maybe, and it gives a bad name. But we see that with vertical bows and compound bows and whatnot. But I think crossbows are not keeping anybody from getting into the sport. I don't believe that at all. We see people who got into the sport because of a crossbow, because maybe they started earlier, they wanted to get into hunting, they got into a crossbow, and now they want to upgrade to a vertical bow, you know, a compound bow. Some guys go back to traditional stuff. I mean, I just don't see it as a negative. I think what happens is we get this mob mentality. Oh, crossbows suck. Crossbows are gay. Vertical bows are the only way. Traditional bows are the only way. It's like, dude, we're all trying to do the same thing. If you're a good hunter, you're a good hunter. It doesn't matter the weapon of choice. Like, dudes are killing them with a spear.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be like, when I first got into hunting, because I've only been hunting now 7 years.
Yeah.
And so my first deer, I killed with a rifle. That's all that I ever knew. I knew about bows, right?
Yeah.
And then just in my opinion, I've said it on here before, you know, hunting with a gun's a little too easy for me. I consider it a little too easy. That's just my own opinion. So at the time when I realized that, I was like, all right, I got two options, hunt with a crossbow or go with a vertical bow. And I went back and forth for a couple of months and I ended up getting a crossbow because it was what I was used to, right?
Yeah.
And then it's a good transition. Yeah, exactly. I hunt with that and I'm like, man, you know, again, I really want to be outside shooting, but I don't need to shoot this thing. It's set. It's perfectly fine, right? I can wait till a week before season and sight it in and I'm good to go. So then I got a bow and man.
This is hard.
It was so hard. Like,
but dude, you're a perfect example of that, right? It's like, it's an entry into what we all love.
Yep.
Like you went from rifle to crossbow to vertical bow and now you're a passionate bow hunter.
Yep.
Like, dude,
and I've shot traditional and I suck at it.
Same, dude. I've got a Satori hanging on my wall, not a true trad bow like some of these guys, stick and string, but
yeah.
I've got a Satori that I've messed with, and you know, it requires more effort. I will give you that. It's different. But at the end of the day, who are you to judge that person for what they enjoy doing, man? Yeah. Who are you the gatekeeper of fun?
I agree.
The dude have their thing, man. And if anything, like us in my position, the shop owners, I think should support people. And then it gives you the ability to get them into the sport in a good light. You develop a good relationship with these customers. And then when they show an interest, because they're going to show an interest into the vertical bow side of things, you can bring them over. But you didn't, right out of the gate, you didn't shun them and put a bad taste in their mouth. And like, I hate the compound bow hunters because they're all rude. And they're all saying what I do is dumb, even though I love it. And I get to do it with my kids. My grandpa shoots one. Like, who are you to tell anybody what they should and shouldn't do? As long as they're following the law, they're doing it correctly, is what it is. Now, it's up to the states when we talk about seasons. Like, that's up to them. But we can have this conversation over and over again, and it doesn't get us anywhere.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to get hated on this really bad, just so you
know. Oh, I will too. It's fine. Bring it on. I got a guy at church that, you know, we were talking and he hunts and stuff. And I told him, I've got a bow shoot coming up next month, right? It's our fourth one. I've literally posted on Facebook, hey, I don't care what you shoot. If it's a piece of archery equipment, I did put that in quotes, but a piece of archery equipment, trad, compound, crossbow, I don't care.
Right.
Bring it. And he was all like, man, are you sure I can bring him? Like, dude, I don't care if you bring it. We've had crossbows there before. Like, just come on, have a good time. And I will tell you one humbling thing, though. And I don't know how this is going to come off, but when I started shooting a vertical bow, right? It took me quite a while to be pretty decent at 30.
Same.
So I get my wife into it a few months ago. She is shooting my—
Girls are always better.
Oh, dude, listen to this. This might blow your mind. So long story short, I had her try to shoot the bow a little bit last year and she was shooting right-handed. It's a right-handed bow. So I was like, here, just do it this way. I messed up, made the draw length a little too long. I'm not the greatest teacher, yada, yada. She ends up getting really bad string slap. So she puts it down for a while because it was bad. I mean, she has a growth on her arm now and it's my fault. So I'm a bad husband, I guess. But so here's what happens. So we go, she gets this for my birthday back in March. She got a archery class for the family. Now, I don't need the class, but she did it so that, you know, we all could go shoot bows and it wouldn't just be, you know, everyone standing around while I'm shooting mine.
Right.
So we go and she realizes that she is a left-handed shooter.
Is she left-eye dominant or is she just left-handed?
I don't remember. She's left-handed. And what's funny is I'm left-handed too and right-eye dominant. So I shoot all types of weird ways. But this is the crazy thing. So I say, look, if you shoot left-handed, we can get you a left-handed bow. Or if you just want to try it, you can shoot my bow left-handed, like my old one. This girl, I kid you not, four times shooting that bow, now can be deadly at 30, shooting the bow backwards, basically. She's shooting it like Jimi Hendrix plays a guitar.
Oh my gosh.
And there is no peep sight. And she is deadly at 30 yards. And I look at her and I'm like, do you know how long it took for me to be able to do what you're doing? And you're four sessions in. And it's amazing. So I'm like, maybe I just am not good at that.
Now,
she's a natural, man.
I think we see that. It's pretty common. Like when we get girls set up on bows, like it just clicks. They're like very meticulous and they listen and they put everything into play. They do a very good job of listening and then reenacting what you teach them. And then they're like spot on with everything. They're always better than the guys that come in. Like when we have couples come in and get bows together, the ladies always crush it right away while the husband's like, it's almost like an ego thing. And then
I was about to ask you, do you think it's an ego thing? Cause
I think it's just part, it's like natural, like human nature. Like it's like, gosh, why I'm supposed to be the one that's good at this. And she's, you know, she's
outshooting
me. Yeah. My wife is the same way.
Yeah. I told her, I was like, when we go to Tennessee next year and we shoot tack, she's going to be shooting. I'm like, I want you to outshoot me. Cause she's like, well, what are you going to do if I'm like, I'm going to be happy. You kidding me? It's like the only way I might get a little jealous is if I'm hunting a deer for a season and you go out in one sit and kill it. We might have
that's
some problems.
That's what'll happen too.
I know. That's why I'm like, I don't have a ground blind for a reason, but,
that's funny.
But yeah, man, it's just crazy. Like, cause I actually had a guy comment on a video or a episode a few weeks back and I was talking about this And I, listen, I'm not holding on to it or nothing. It just sticks in my mind. But he was like, this host doesn't know anything about archery. He's trying though, but his wife needs a left-handed Bubba. And I'm like, listen, dude, if she's shooting it good, why does it matter? You know, I know that dude, it's a little backwards, but so what?
Listen, I battle this a lot because, it's very difficult for me to navigate because, so I'll take a step back. I've put my entire life in this thing we've built, right?
Yeah.
And it means the world to me. And we put a lot of effort into what we do and the production value and the quality of the information. And I'm not saying we're always right. But we put a lot of effort into it. And then you have these people that are behind a screen, right, that don't fully understand you as a human because you're getting small clips of me, right,
yeah,
doing something. You don't know our full background. You know,
the 30-minute video that took 3 hours to film.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. It, you know, costs a lot of money to make and yeah, whatnot. But then you got people that come in and they comment and they say just mean things. Like, right, like that's one thing that I have a very hard time with, and that's why it's for me social is difficult, because it always drowns out the worst people. It seems like, especially whenever you're going through and looking at stuff. And there's, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great people, and
oh,
we
yeah,
have a lot of great people that follow us and give us a lot of really great feedback. But there's some people that you just have, that you see, it's just these just trolling accounts, mm-hmm, that just show up time after time again. They'll comment on how you shoot your bow or, you know, what your skill set is, or say you don't know this, that, or the other. And, you know, they really don't have any idea. They're just taking this one little clip and they're just, you know, just hammering you.
Yeah.
And, that's my biggest thing, my biggest gripe with social, man. And it's always refreshing though. Like anytime I go somewhere and we go to events and I talk, I've never had a bad interaction in person.
Yeah.
And you know, and then it's refreshing. You talk to people and they're like, you helped me, and you know, I enjoy your stuff, and you're like, okay, it's worth doing. And
oh yeah,
you know, you've got to step back and you realize there's a lot of just noise out there that, you know, you just gotta look past. And it is very difficult, especially when they're, it's just mean stuff, mean spirited, and, or it brings in family or kids and stuff like that. I have a very,
yeah,
difficult time with that.
Well, I'll give you some advice. If you don't want to deal with negative comments, don't ever do an episode on the Rumpola Buck. Okay. Cause that,
oh God, I can only imagine, dude.
Brother.
People got opinions, man. Like that's the, like,
it was crazy. I mean, that is the most commented video that I've got. And what's funny is it's just me and this dude from Michigan talking about our opinions on it. And everyone on there's like, oh, it's real. I saw it. It's this. I'm like, dude, okay. If it's real, great. If it's not, I don't really care anymore. Yeah. I did all the research I could. I can't find the answer. We're not going to know until somebody comes out with it and says, look, this is it. It's fake, yeah, or it's real, you know? Yeah. So it, but it's funny to me. Like Joe Rogan said, don't read the comments. I yeah, read them now because it's so funny. And oh, people dude, get it's so hyped up and I'm like, dude, you obviously are taking what I'm saying a lot more serious than I am.
Dude, people do, man. They really, really, they go hard in the comments sometimes. I know some of our stuff, I just like, it's not even worth it, man.
Nah.
Because we, I'll give you a prime example. Like, I didn't shoot good at in Pennsylvania. Like I had just really struggled.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a raw reality with archery, right? You have off days. And that was by far one of my worst days I probably ever experienced. It was a mix of target panic, bow just not quite set up where it needed to be, and then shooter induced errors, right? It's all just a perfect storm of just a disaster. And we document it and we put it out.
Yeah.
And I, which I think is also good because people see that it is challenging and that everybody struggles through it. And some days are just off.
Yeah.
Like it's just part of the game.
But I mean, you don't want to win hard on all the time, you know, like, cause then people have this false perception of you. And then if they see you out there and you're not having a good day, they're like, what? So everything was fake. It's like,
yeah, dude, yeah, that's right. You're right.
Yeah. It's
funny. I had a dude, what did he say? He was like, oh, I saw you guys shooting. I wasn't impressed. I'm like, I didn't realize we were there to impress you, man. We're a bunch of dudes that shoot bows. We run a really great shop. I'm not a professional archer though, man. I know guys who are incredible shooters, professional level, that, you know, after this eye-opening experience this weekend, I'm going to work with, and they're going to help me with some things. But,
yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, we're not there to impress you either. We're there to have fun just like you are. You know, don't look for me if you're trying to shoot 330X. Like, I ain't the guy, dude.
So, you know, you bring up an interesting thing is the target panic stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Which I may have dealt with, I wouldn't know.
Right? I've never to me, dealt with it until.
Well, like the way I look at archery, and I was explaining this to my wife earlier, a couple weeks back, is like, you know, it feels like almost riding a bike in a way. You know, you could, I went a time where I didn't shoot my bow for a whole month. Did I struggle? Yes. But could I have still killed something at 20 yards, which is pretty much the furthest shot you get in Georgia? Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm not out here being like Levi Morgan, you know, hitting 10 rings, 14, whatever ASA stuff they've got. But it's like you understand the fundamentals of it. And then you sort of work on like your form and, you know, maybe what works better for you that doesn't work as good for other people. But the target panic thing has always been interesting to me because it's just a mental game.
Yeah, it is. You know? And it's, I think one of my main reasons I struggled with it when I did, was one, it all had to do with uphill. It was everything that was uphill. Like,
yeah.
And the animal being so far away and so small, mm-hmm. right? Like I would get my pin on it and then I would, you know, start to work through my shot process and I would get to my click and I just couldn't expand anymore. And then the shot wouldn't go off and then I would fall out of my peep sight and I'd rip through it. And I'm like, oh great, a bad shot. Yeah. So a little bit different. Now I also see which opened my eyes to target panic because I had never dealt with it before,
yeah.
right? I would get my pin on the target and I just couldn't get it to stay on that target and then it would just fall apart. Now I look at it from I have a different respect for it at this point too, with the guys that step up on the line, like at, you know, Vegas or these Lancaster Classics and stuff like that, with all these dudes shooting beside of them, shooting that 20 yard three spot face or whatever they shoot and
yeah.
able to stay in that process every time, every shot with everything going on around with them, with TV crews beside people they don't know. Like I could see how target panic could really just crush you shooting that. And then the same thing, just shooting a three spot on the flat range where you just know how perfect you need to be. And where you, I think it's like once you miss once or once you have one bad shot, if you're not able to clear your mind, like I could see that just being a trickle effect or a snowball effect for guys like that.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of, what's funny is I kind of feel like it sort of leaks into hunting too. You know,
yeah.
you
got oh, a yeah, deer.
I mean, I'll be honest. I get more nervous about does than I do bucks. I don't know why.
I got a buddy that's like that too.
Dude, it's the weirdest thing. I've killed more does than I've killed bucks, but I struggle to draw back on them. And then once I'm on them, it's almost like my brain is saying, don't do it. Cause you know, I was not raised, but coming up, you know, my uncle hunted, he had bucks on the wall. I played deer hunter as a kid. So all I ever knew was big bucks or not big bucks, but buck, right? Like right. We're there to kill a buck. Yeah. And then it was kind of a struggle the first couple of years. Cause it's like, why am I drawing back on this thing with no antlers? Oh, that's right. They taste good. And then you send it, you know, it's like a hesitation almost.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would relate to target panic, but I have made bad shots on does before. I made one last season. Started the season by just going straight through the backstrap. And I'm like, oh, great. Lost a doe at the end of the season before. I lost a doe at the beginning of the season. This is going to be great. Yeah, and I mean, dude. I only killed one deer, but it was a weird season last year. I mean, you're in North Carolina, so like you probably were dealing with some of the same stuff I was.
Yeah. So it's funny you say that because I had a trip in Kentucky a few years ago. And I think it was a form of target panic that I didn't really register at the time, but
yeah.
I had a really good deer come in and I shot and it felt like a good shot and it wasn't, it didn't, I think it was just low, right? Whatever. Gone. The deer's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That afternoon I have another good deer come in. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like my, like things are just working out. I'm crushing.
My redemption arc.
Yeah. Dude. Botched this shot. I don't know what I did, but from there I had to leave after that. I had to go back home.
Yeah.
But it messed with me for the entire season. It's like, man, maybe I just can't kill deer. It was that mental thing, that mental block that you have to overcome, it seems yeah. like. And the only way to do it is redemption. You have to go back in there and do it. And yeah, dude, that messed with me for a while. I still think about that. Like you go somewhere, you spend all this time and energy and you're on this property and you just screw it up.
Yeah. Do you think that's something that like a Lee Ellis would probably deal with is the mental? Cause you know, you see those guys and it's like, Okay. They're just cool, calm, collected, and then they lose it after the deer's down. But I do wonder sometimes, especially knowing like local guys and, you know, a few other dudes that people would probably, I guess, know the name of or whatever, that know how to kill deer. But I wonder, do they have that same internal struggle that maybe it doesn't show on camera, but say they make a mistake, do you think that that type of stuff sticks with them?
I don't know, man. I would say the guys that are successful, they see it. They, you know, because everybody makes mistakes or has, you know, bad shots or whatnot. But I think they're able to recover at a faster rate, right? They're able to, okay, it happened. It is what it is. We move on. They don't dwell on it. It doesn't ruin their days. You know, it's how fast can you get over the mistake and continue to move forward? And some dudes, it's days, some weeks, some dudes are years. Yeah. And I think guys like that at higher levels, have experience in being able to get past things or through things faster.
So it's just a mental game. Like I was saying before.
It's a massive amount of mental, I think. I'm with you on that.
So something I don't know a lot about you is actually your hunting history. So what kind of, obviously you're in North Carolina. You said you went to Kentucky. What kind of hunting history do you have? Like, have you gone out west? Have you hunted elks before?
I've never been out west. I've always been on the East Coast, man. And no one's coming to Eastern North Carolina to hunt whitetail. And no one's coming here, man.
Hey, like, I know the feeling.
Dude, so it's super hot here. We're right on the coast, right? So we got coastal deer. I don't think the nutrition is quite as well. There's really good deer here. It's really hard to hunt. They run dogs here, right? So we're battling that. So Eastern North Carolina, no one's coming here to kill big deer. I still enjoy hunting it. The hunting's hard. You know, I'm happy to kill a couple does and maybe a buck each year.
In your area, what would you consider to be like a good buck?
Bro, like if you see deer, I think around here, there's some dudes killing like, I don't know. I got some dudes here that are just killers that just get it done every year. 120s, somewhere around there.
Sounds like Georgia. Yeah, sounds like normal Georgia. You go to Atlanta, it's different. But around here, I mean, I will say I did have a couple bucks last year that were probably pushing mid-30s. And they all survived, and I've seen them this year, and they're nice. But something I learned, especially after talking with Cody and a few other guys that like really know how to get on these mature, totally different animal whitetails.
Right.
It's a completely different animal. I mean, they are some of the smartest animals I've ever seen. And it blows my mind because, you know, like Waddell says, they're just a goat. It's like, I don't think so, man. I mean, I'm convinced my deer here are psychic. I've said that 1,000 times. It's like they know when season ends because they always show up in front of the camera and they're like, hey, season's over. Come feed us. It's like,
it's funny, man.
It's just, I don't know, southern deer or something different.
Dude, yeah. Ours are like little crackheads, man. Like, I think because they run dogs, like, you know, I mean, dogs get run all year around here, right? Yeah. They do trials in the off season. I mean, they're really? Running coyote. Yeah. So like game lands, whenever rifle season open up, I mean, it's a war zone out there. Dogs are running around everywhere. So I think our deer are really on edge. And don't get me wrong. Like the guys you're talking about, the hunters are just like studs, man. Those guys are the hunters, right? I'm not that guy. I know we got some local guys here that are like just killers. Like these dudes could kill, you could give them a slingshot probably, and these dudes would go out and just be successful. A lot of these dudes are trad guys, or they're shooting bows from like 15 years ago. They just get it done. They just understand the game and deer and, you know, the way deer operate. And it's the same thing, like you said, like those deer are, it's just a different caliber. Like those are intelligent animals that you can't get away with anything on them.
Yeah. Dude, it's, I don't know. I've talked about it a million times on here about how different our deer are. They're so cagey. I mean, feel like they're born looking up, honestly. Like, I truly believe that.
Is that why Cody hunts so low?
Well, that's why I'm starting to hunt so low. I don't like heights. But the thing is, you know, it does actually seem to work. I mean, I've talked with him and Zach, and the way they describe it, it's like, if you can get somewhere that's not super high up, your scent cone's smaller, you can have better cover. And in Georgia, and I'm sure in North Carolina too, it's thick over here.
Dude, it's so thick here. So like you cannot get high.
Yeah. I mean, it's either, the way I look at it is you either get 30 plus or
sounds about
14
right.
max. Yeah. You know? So, yep. Dude, so, all right, I want to pick your brain a little bit. I really don't talk about this much on here, but releases. Because you guys have done some in-depth videos on releases. I saw the release in your hand and made me think of it.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing with this Stan Lynx. I just got it in today. I actually like it.
I've shot all, I guess, all types, right? Like, honestly, I feel like I'm a controlled trigger puncher. Don't know how, just happens. But a wrist rocket is my go-to. I've shot some thumb buttons. I actually shot the UV, too, and almost punched myself in the face because I wasn't ready for how hot it was. And I couldn't figure out how to get the thing actually clipped in because I'm used to the, you know, it opens up. And then my buddy that was at the shop, he was like, no, you just slide it on. I was like, what do you mean you slide it on? And he showed me how to do it. I was like, that's too much technology for me. But then I tried a hinge. About knocked myself out. I guess the question is, like, those types of releases, do you recommend people don't hunt with a hinge? Would you say that maybe you should hunt with like a button or an index, or
I would say majority people. I would say majority of people should not hunt with a hinge, including myself. I enjoy shooting a hinge, and that's, like I said, I just got this. I was talking to Pete from Stan. I talked to the owner from Stan when we were in Pennsylvania, talking about releases, and I was playing with the Lynx, which is a hinge, just to mess with. I think it's a great way to just really become a better shooter, more proficient shooter, shoot using proper technique, fundamentals, back tension, all of that. But for most people, I think getting in the woods with a hinge is just too risky, just because you don't have the same amount of control. And we all know, I'm not saying guys can't do it. Like, there's a lot of dudes here who are really good shooters that hunt with a hinge.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different caliber of archer, though. You know, the majority of your bow hunters, I think, your run-of-the-mill bow hunters that are more so a bow hunter than an archer, like going out shooting all season, like a wrist rocket or even a thumb button, I think is a really great option. You just can't go wrong with them. You have more control over them. Because let's face it, a lot of dudes hammer the trigger. Like, and you can do that with those. You can't do that with a hinge. And then, you know, whenever you're standing in a tree, you're at a weird angle. Maybe you're hunting off the ground. The footing is not perfect. Elevation is strange. I mean, all of those things with a hinge, it can be very difficult for that bow to get off. Or if you move wrong, that bow just happens to go off. So I think most dudes get away with a wrist release or a thumb button. I personally shoot a thumb button. I like it. I think it's very repeatable. I do have the Stan Solex as well, which is a wrist rocket. I think it's just being proficient with whatever you use. Whatever you choose to use, be good with it. Be, you know, shoot it a lot. Use it. Be comfortable with it. Understand how it works. And I think that's more important than anything. But hinge, dude, like, you hunt with a hinge, you're an animal. You're a beast.
So can you maybe explain to me why I ended up punching myself in the mouth when I tried to shoot the hinge?
Oh, dude, for the hinge?
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever you were drawing the bow back?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, so you... We see this all the time. So anytime we put somebody on a hinge, we always put them on a shot trainer first. Never put them on their bow because if a hinge, it fires based off rotation, right? So you have to rotate this in order for the release to go off.
Yeah.
If you put too much weight on these, you know, your ring finger, or your middle finger, as you're drawing the bow back, you rotate through, the shot goes off. And, you know, you don't get all the way to full draw, you'll knock yourself out with this thing, man.
Oh, yeah. I made it about halfway on my bow and about re-chipped my other tooth. I already got one chipped tooth. I don't need a second one. So how are you supposed to do it then if you don't put pressure on your fingers?
You don't put too much pressure on it. You have more finger for most guys on your index finger. So you'll draw that release straight back versus rotating. As soon as you start to rotate is what causes to go off. So you have to keep that release. It's got to be set up correctly and you'll draw it straight back, get into anchor and then start to pull and rotate through your shot.
Got it.
Dude, yeah, it would bust you up if you don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, I called it. I was at the range with my buddies, and one of my buddies shoots a hinge, and he's shooting. This dude, I don't even know how he does it. I've tried shooting his bow, and it's like 93 pounds. It's a Hoyt RX-4 that he's just maxed to, I don't even know what he did to it, but he was like, yeah, go and try to shoot mine. I'm like, no, because I can already struggle with my index. I'm not using a hinge on your 93-pound bow, so I'll shoot mine. I'll be fine. But I did say, I was like, I'm going to punch myself. I know it. I'm so used to, you know, my wrist moves, you know, I'm going to do it. I got about a quarter of the way through and right in the kisser. It was embarrassing, but it was actually kind of funny. It hurt a lot, but it was not fun.
We've seen a lot of dudes do it. I've got a video we were shooting a long time ago with whenever Cody was here with us.
Yeah.
And we were testing bows or releases, and one of the releases fired, dude. And we got him dropping the bow, smashing himself in the face. It's a killer picture. We looked at it again this past couple weeks ago whenever we were in TAC. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I'll stay away from him. I really will.
I mean, there's nothing better. Like so that's where I'm at right now, like becoming a better shooter. Like I've never really dove into the technical side of shooting. Like I understand the basic shot process and all that, but really being a proficient, good shooter, I've started talking to, his name's Cooper French with PSE, and then some other guys. I talked to George Riles whenever we were up in Pennsylvania, and just after shooting bad, it really kind of, really rebuilt my interest, like at another level with archery, like to become more in depth and more technical. And I was talking to those guys. So I'm working through right now, kind of starting all over from the entire shot process, how I set my bow up, and looking at the target side of things just to become a more proficient and better shooter so that it carries over so that, one, I can shoot better. And then two, we can, provide more information for our customers and stuff, because the guys that are really good at it, man, it just looks effortless. And that's where I want to get to be, with my shooting. Cause these guys are, they're shooting these targets and they don't miss, man. Like they do not miss. It's crazy.
See, starting out, I was very heavily influenced by Cam Haynes. Like I used to watch all of Cam's stuff, and I even tried the thumb behind the neck thing. Cause I'm like, that's a perfect anchor. I don't know if my hands are too small. I don't know what the deal is, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So now I've watched myself when, we video, like the YouTube video we did with TAC. And in there, you can see I do the whole lean forward thing, it's kind of like I lean forward and take a step back and just anchor down into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have my hand hanging there and just,
Yep.
Total side note. Do you know why Cooper wasn't at Tennessee TAC?
Cooper French?
Yeah.
He was at, there was a 3D event going on, I think. No, Vegas was going on.
Oh, okay.
He was at Vegas. That's why he wasn't there, I think, is what was happening in Tennessee.
Got it. Yeah. Dang, I was so bummed, dude. Because me and Josh, one of my good buddies who got me into hunting, he used to shoot PSE all the time.
Yeah.
And I've kind of been bringing him along, like to TAC and getting him introduced to people. Just as kind of a way, I guess, to give back for everything that I've got. Because without him, none of this would be happening, really.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
And so he got to meet Cooper, and we kind of became buddies with Cooper. And then I was like, yeah, dude, I can't wait to see Cooper when we get to TAC. And he wasn't there. And I'm like, the heck, man?
Dude, Cooper is a wealth of knowledge, man.
He really is.
He will school you. And he's the one that I'm talking to. I'm actually doing a podcast with him tomorrow for the American Bowhunter podcast that we do. And we're going to go through introduction to target archery for guys and why bowhunters should maybe consider target archery as well, just to become, for developing the mental game, and then become a better shooter. So he's going to break some stuff down for me, because I've got a lot of questions for him, because he's a madman, dude, and he is such a good shooter. Like when you watch him shoot, I'm always like just intrigued. It looks perfect. Like I don't know how else to describe it. Everything just clicks and it just looks effortless.
Yeah, he's, I love that, dude. Yeah, really,
he's awesome.
Do,
great, great guy too. He's a great representative for PSE. And like I said, just a wealth of knowledge. If you've got questions, that dude has an answer.
Yeah. I mean, he's honestly as good as he is. I used to not like PSE, which the reason being is kind of stupid, but Josh had a PSE that I could never draw back. I mean, for years, it was 70 pounds, right? And so I'm like, dude, I should be able to do this. Shot a bear at 70, shot my original bow, a blackout at 70, which probably wasn't actually 70, but whatever. It's close enough, a couple pounds off. And I'd always grab Josh's bow, and I'm like, dude, I can finally do it. It took me 3 years to draw this thing back.
What, did it have an S2 cam on it?
It was I think it's the PSE Dream Season, so whatever's on that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't know, but it was stout. And I finally draw it back. And so when we first met Cooper, I was like, Cooper, I got to be honest with you, bro. I was like, the bows look cool. I can't stand them. And he's like, well, come and shoot the Mach. I think it was the Mach 33 or the Mach 30 or whatever it was. And he convinced me. I was like, these actually aren't that bad. And then so the past few years, we always get to see him and stuff. So Yeah, he's pretty good if you could take a PSE hater and make someone not a hater anymore.
He's a great representative for the sport, in my opinion. Like, guys like that are what this sport need. Just very down to earth, very approachable, very willing to help. Like, those are the guys that you want representing a company, and he's a great representation for a representative for PSE at all these events. But speaking of bows, we talk about draw cycles and stuff. Dude, all these bows now are so good. Like, it's really hard. Like, we get asked all the time, like, what's the best bow? Like, dude, it's like, dude, you got to shoot them all, man. There is not a best bow, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would hate to be the guys at Outdoor Life, the ones that are testing and doing the bow of the year. That's like, you're going to get hate no matter what you do.
Yeah. I mean, I will admit that me personally, I don't feel like Elite should have had bow of the year. I would have said more. No.
Me neither. So I can't.
So, I guess. Yeah. I have shot a lot of the newer flagships, right? Just for fun. Shot Prime, shot Hoyt, shot Matthew, shot Bear, all that stuff. Shot Darton. You know, my local shop carries all of them. So I went in there, shot every single one that I wanted to shoot. Elite, I've never really been a huge Elite fan. So it pretty much was that. But when I shot the Hoyt, it felt great. I shot the Matthews. Didn't really care for the draw cycle, but it wasn't bad. I know you throw the Z mod on there. It's probably better. I am biased towards Prime just because I think the draw cycle is the smoothest out there. That's just my opinion. And then when I saw Outdoor Life came up and said that Elite won it, I'm like, well, hold on a minute. What was the reason behind that? And I'm sure they had a good one, you know, but I truly feel like someone else should have had it.
There were so many factors that they considered, right? And I think it is about as non-biased as you can be, and people won't agree with that. I think PJ Riley does a really good job, and the group of guys he had there were great representatives to do this.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, man, I mean, there really isn't a best bow for 2020. There's not, man. Like, when you look at all these bows, the best bow is the bow that fits you, right? But those guys, it was based off their judging protocol. That bow, the reason it won is it grouped better than all the other bows. It was comparable as far as speed goes, draw cycle, tuning capability, and all these things, but it outshot those bows whenever we talked about the grouping at 50 yards. So it was a little bit easier to shoot. It was heavier, but it shot well. And I don't know, man. I just, for us, whenever we look at people, they're like, what bow should I get? What's the best bow? And it's like, man, the best bow is the bow that feels best to you. Shoot the bows, test the bows, see what is best in your hands and what you're comfortable with and go off that. It's great to watch our videos, anybody else's video, but you got to take it for what it is. It's still going to have some of our opinion on it. And you need to develop your own opinion on these bows. Go test them out and see what actually feels good for you. Because I'll tell you, like, a draw cycle that feels good to me, you may not enjoy.
Yeah.
You might like a valley that's a little bit more forgiving. Maybe you want a bow that is on a rotating mod or the grip is different. There's just so many different factors, man. I would hate to be the one rating these.
To sort of give you guys your flowers, y'all are a shop that allows you to shoot bows before you buy them, correct?
You can come in my shop and you can test every single thing that is in here. You can test sights, you can test releases, you can test ARS, you can test stabilizers, we put you on our range, and then you can test shoot every bow that's in our shop, and we carry all the bows. So that was important to me when establishing our shop, is that we have options. I'm not a one shop. I may like a bow, right? It doesn't matter what I like. My business is not built to suit my needs. My business is built to suit the customer's needs. That's why we offer so many variations, so many options, so many bow brands, so many sight brands, because you need to find what works for you, not what I like. That's always been important to me. Options, variety, and the ability to find something that works best for you based off your needs, your capability, and what your goals are.
So any shops listening, listen to what Zach just said, because very important.
Have you heard of shops that don't allow people to test bows?
I know of one. I don't remember the name of it. It's somewhere in Georgia. But I do have a buddy that went in and he was doing exactly what we just said. He wanted to test them all out and they wouldn't let him shoot it. They were like, oh, you got to buy it first. And I told him immediately, I was like, don't go back there.
Yeah, dude, like, that's tough, man.
It's just stupid. Well, you know, like,
yeah, it really is. It's tough because, like, you don't know until you try it. Like, it's like buying a car. I'm not going to buy a car unless I test drive it.
Yep.
Like, that's part of it. I mean, that's kind of the, like, we put like all these bows on the wall. And if you're like, I want to shoot the green one, you know, at 70, you can shoot that one. I don't care.
Yeah.
Test the bow, man. Like, you're more than welcome to. That's, and as a shop, like, to provide that level of customer service, like, that's what you want. You want them buying something that they're comfortable with. I don't want to put you in a bow that doesn't, that you end up buying and then you regret because you don't like how it shoots.
Yeah, I think a lot of shops try to make a sale and they want to sell you like the new Matthews or the new Hoyt RX-10 that's, you know, $2,000. And oh, by the way, you need this $600 dialed sight. Oh, you also need this extremely light $400 quiver. By the way, you also need these $500 to $600, you know, stabilizer pack. And oh, arrows are going to cost you $200. We also charge $100 to build them. It's a whole thing. And they see the numbers and they're not thinking about like the person's archery experience. You know, especially if they're new. That's the worst. Like, yeah, I've really gotten screwed over. It's horrible.
Yeah, so, that's interesting you say that, man, because, I mean, as a goal, you have to assess the customer that walks in your shop, right? Yep. Not everybody's a $2,500, $3,500 bow person. Like, if you get somebody that's new coming into the sport, you don't want them to overspend because they may not even like it.
Yeah.
So that's why the price tiers, I think, are so important, and you got to be realistic with your customer. And I think the customers see that and appreciate that. And then that's how you build trust and build long-term customers for a bow shop. And I think that's maybe why some bow shops have struggled. They just haven't adapted or, you know, it is difficult. I mean, maybe the customer service just isn't there, but I firmly believe you've got to take the time with every customer that comes in and give them the time of day, set them up, measure them, let them test. Then whatever they decide, you go through the tuning process, you build the bow out, tune it, put it through paper, make sure it's good, put them on the range. We put them on the range, we get them sighted in so that whenever they leave, they're comfortable and confident with their equipment so they can go home and enjoy shooting the bow. They're not guessing, like, how does my sight work? You know, how do I, you know, we answer all the questions. There. Yeah, man. Like, that's important because if you look at some of this equipment and these accessories, they're very technical.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're new to archery, like a drop away rest, a whisker biscuit, a dialed sight, you know, a slider sight, 3-pin, 5-pin, all these different things. And if you don't give them a basic understanding and rundown, they walk out. Yeah, you made the sale, but, you know,
will they come back?
Yeah. Will they ever come back? Did you build a good relationship with them? Do you build trust with them? And now, you know, they got this equipment that they just blew up because they didn't understand how to do it or they broke something, you know?
Yeah.
It's got to be transparent.
So on a lighter note, before we wrap this up, I have to ask you because, you know, you know a thing or two about bows. You're kind of in the industry a little bit. You talk to these people, you know, some of the same people, you know, that I guess I could say I do over at like Prime or whatever. And I'm curious your thoughts. Bow technology right now, the craze so far has been tuning. And a lot of people, pretty much everyone except two brands I can think of, have no self-tuning technology yet. Sure, it's coming. What do you think? Because most of these flagship bows are ranging anywhere between, except, you know, the Sicario, which I'm leaving that one out because that sucker's just blistering. Most of these bows are hitting around the 335, 345 foot per second mark. It kind of seems, what I've seen at least in the past few years, is that we're sort of capped out on speed. So what do you think is the next big like change that's going to come to bow builds or the next technological step that we're going to be taking?
I think the focus right now is, I think you're right. Like, speed is like, I don't know how they're going to get much more speed out of the bow. And I don't think, you know, the bows shoot fast, like all of them, dude. Like, even the slow bows shoot, you know, shoot well, shoot good speeds. But I think the focus, I mean, is for a lot of these brands is the tuning side of things, man, making it simpler, making it, easier. We look at the trend with the decline of shops, people got to be able to tune these bows themselves. Right. So when we look at the tuning technology, I think Bowtech does a fantastic job with their deadlock cam. I'm a huge fan of their tuning system.
Yeah.
Matthews system. And now, you know, Hoyt's come out with that XTS tuning system. You've got, I mean, Darton, which is their tuning, is insane. Like, you don't even need a press. You don't need to press at all. Like, aside from changing strings, you can do everything pressless. Yeah. So I kind of think that's the direction as far as whatever, what else. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm always intrigued every year when these brands come out with something new, and it's a lot of times it's nothing major, but it's these little subtle things that just add to the experience of the bow. And Yeah, I don't know where we're going, man, what the direction is, how we get better. I think the big thing that we have seen is the trend in the speed that you get are true speeds. Mm-hmm. And with the increase in the speed that we've got is the shootability of the platforms. Like the bows shoot faster, easier, and they're easier to shoot for most people.
Yeah.
And then besides just that, it's the tuning side of things. The bows, like from a shop, like perspective, the rate at which we can tune a bow efficiently and faster is so much greater just within these last 3 to 5 years, which for us is huge, because if we got to spend an hour and a half tuning a bow to get it to shoot right, it's a nightmare, right? Whenever we got all these people coming through a shop. So I don't know exactly, man. It's really hard to say. My thing that I see with it is the bows are easier to shoot, the bows are easier to tune, and they offer features that just make it a better experience. As far as where we're going to be in the next couple of years, dude, I have no idea. I'm very curious myself, because every year they come out with, I'm like, what could be any better? And there's always something new that is a little bit better. Not saying you need to upgrade to it, but it is a cool feature or a cool system that makes things just a little bit better. And it's hard to look at it from year to year because it's never a massive change. But when you look at like on a 5-year basis, that's where you see those big changes, right? Whether it's a cam system, it's a tuning system, you know, this year with the introduction of the Sicario, just how fast it shoots and how forgiving a speed bow is, like that to me is mind-blowing.
I still haven't shot it, but I've watched your videos on it, and I've talked with buddies that have shot it, you know, shop guys that have shot it, and it's kind of intriguing, honestly. It makes me wonder if we could ever get to a point where we could have, you know, because I know the efficiency of everything is getting much better. So I do wonder if,
big thing.
Yeah, like if 5-10 years from now, we're going to have bows that are, you know, like the Prime 7-inch brace height, but it's so efficient that you can get 350 out of it and you don't have to be shooting 95 pounds. You know?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. We've seen an increase in, you know, what's come pretty mainstream is heavy poundage bows. And yes, I'd like to say we'd be a part of that. We were a part of that. Cause I've always been a heavy poundage guy, but within reason, right? Like you've got to be able to shoot these things. And I think they're so manageable now. Like when you look at like the cam systems on these bows, they're so smooth, man. Like, I was shooting some videos today for our Bow War series. I was doing the Sicario versus the new Sicario 35, and then the Sicario 35 versus the Mach 35. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, man, PSC did a good job bridging the gap between the Sicario and the Mach 35, because the Sicario is still, it's a speed bow, whatever, through and through. It's a speed bow. It is short brace height. It is a less forgiving bow. It is the easiest speed bow you will ever shoot. But nonetheless, it's still a speed bow. Well, and then you've got the Mach 35, which is the most forgiving bow that they have. Well, they put these together. They made the Sicario 35, and it's impressive, man. I was thoroughly pleased with how well it shoots, how well it groups, and the speeds that it's putting up. They've done a good job with it.
I mean, I got to see firsthand. You know, I shot, I think it was last year, I shot the AX2.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And it was 75 pounds, and no one told me, right? So I'm thinking it's 70. Get the thing off, pull it back. It feels like 60. And I asked my buddy that was one of the techs up there, I was like, yo, check the draw length or the draw weight on this thing, because this feels really, really light. Put on the draw board, it was 75 pounds. And I looked at him like, you're telling me I just pulled that back and it didn't feel like anything? And then I shot the Prime. It was 73 pounds, still felt like 60. And I'm like, dude, what is going on? And I mean, even this mods? Year, what's that?
Are you shooting the speed mods?
No.
You're shooting the standard mods?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. The speed mod thing, it's funny. You guys had a part in this. I actually was going to ask for them when I was getting this bow. And I watched a couple of the videos and the description y'all gave, how it definitely feels different. And it was, I think you said something like it's definitely stiffer.
Yes. So it's stiffer and it stacks and it dumps off.
Yeah. See, I don't like that.
I don't either. Especially I have more of an appreciation for a lower let off.
Yeah.
And as I've talked to these guys and I struggled with some of my shooting, playing with those lower let off, it just made the bow a little bit easier to shoot. And the draw cycle, whenever you shoot those lower let off, is just smoother as it rolls into the back wall. The problem I had with the speed mods is you get a couple feet a second faster, nothing crazy, but it just builds and it dumps really hard.
Yeah.
And I don't like that because I don't want to draw and then that bow just fall into, you know, the back wall.
Yep. I mean, I shot a bare whitetail max for a year and that's exactly what I was dealing with, even at 80%. And what's crazy is like that. So I still have it and I've shot it a few times since then. And it's just weird to me how the draw cycle is so freaking stiff. And then what's funny is I shot the Alaskan Pro because that new EKO2 came out and I really wanted to feel that. Dude, it was night and day difference. That I don't know what they did, but oh my Lord.
That cam design is fantastic, dude. So that bow really does perform well. When we talk mid-price point bows, like Bear does a good job. There's a couple mid-price point bows that are out this year that are just crushing it. They've got flagship technology, flagship cams, flagship tuning capability. The Bear Alaskan Pro is in that mid-price point, and it is incredibly smooth. It puts up really good numbers. It's in a 33-inch ATA platform. It just shoots incredibly well. Bear really crushes it in the mid-price point category, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I still I know I shoot Prime and all that stuff. I'm still a huge fan of Bear, just for for the history, right? Like Bear to me is kind of like the guy.
You got to appreciate that, man. Like the innovation over the years, the originators, the pioneers within the industry that we're in are all important and I think should never be forgotten or overlooked or any of that, man. Those are the guys that are the reason we have what we have now.
Exactly. You said exactly what I was just thinking. We would not be here if it wasn't for them.
That's right, man. Now you got us influencers ruining the world.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It's funny. Things got to change.
Part of it. That's right, man. You got to adapt.
God, dude. Well, look, man, I appreciate you coming on. I could honestly sit here for another 2 hours talking about bows and arrows. We didn't even touch arrows or broadheads yet. No, so
man. We'll have to do a follow-up, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was actually just about to say, we need to get you back on so we could do, you know, hey, what broadheads are the best? What arrows are the best? And the arrow thing is going to be funny because I shoot Victory, you shoot Easton. You guys did a whole episode on like, you know, what was it? The custom arrow build thing. Is it worth it or whatever?
I think we're talking about when you talk about custom arrow builds, I'm talking about the Chinese shafts that people
are yeah. Building. It's just, it came to mind because it's like I've shot those before and I've always said, you'll never be able to outshoot, you know, or shoot well enough to see a difference. You can definitely do it with comparing a Victory or Easton to any of those. It's night and day.
It's night and day difference, man. Also, I'm just dropping a podcast tomorrow too. So the Aero Ballista, 2026 Aero Ballistic study that just dropped with James Yates, Easton, Precision Cut Archery. Like, dude, those dudes crushed it, man. And it's changed my thoughts on FOC a little bit. So if you haven't checked it out, you need to see the 2026 Aero Ballistic study that they put on. It's a lot. It's a whole lot. But there's some nuggets in there, man, that I think the everyday bow hunter could pull out of there and apply to their arrow build. So it's definitely worth talking about, definitely worth reading.
And you're dropping that tomorrow on the 16th?
Yeah. It should be tomorrow for the Archery Project podcast that we do. It should be dropping, tomorrow at 5 a.m. and then 12 o'clock on YouTube.
Well, I know what I'll be listening to on my way to work. I have to inspect a million square foot warehouse tomorrow. So,
Jesus.
It's one of those jobs. Every year that I'm like, it's all I got. It's super easy, but man, I'm gonna be hurting. It's gonna. I'm getting the steps in.
That sounds scary. That sounds like a lot of responsibility.
Well, I mean, it's vacant, so it's just fire inspection, so it's really not that bad.
Gotcha.
But 225 extinguishers I got to go look at. So it'll be fun. But I will be listening to you guys on my way there, and if the episode's long enough, while I'm doing it.
Yeah, so, sounds good, man.
Awesome, dude. Well, look, why don't you go ahead and give everybody a shameless plug before we get off of here?
Yeah, man. So if you're interested in anything archery related, if you need product, Extreme Outfitters, you can find us all over any social channel. But if you need anything, extremeoutfitters.com, we sell all of our arrows individually, right? So if you need one arrow for testing, you need to buy a dozen, you can get them through us and we do free cut and glue. Same day shipping too. So we get stuff out right away. And if you're looking for like informational stuff, we have the Extreme Outfitters YouTube channel, which is product reviews, bow reviews, all of that. And then the Archery Project, which is my podcast where we talk about everything in the archery industry, my experiences, the experience of others, and, you know, dropping soon talking about the Aero Ballistic study that just came out from James Yates. And then a lot of good information, my interpretation of things, you know, is what it is. It's fun. I love it, man.
Dude, you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
I love the content. I listen
appreciate
to
that.
every time you guys drop stuff. So keep doing what you're doing. Zach, thank you for coming on, man. And guys, remember, Christ is King. So go read your Bible and go shoot your bow.